following sermon was delivered at the 10:30 worship service at the United Methodist Church of Kent. Please enjoy.
The sermon this morning is the conclusion of a sermon series entitled Navigating the Storm, How to Journey in Faith Through Troubling Times. During the series, we have considered how people have been able to navigate through some very difficult circumstances, whether literal storms at sea or stormy times in general. Our reflections find their appropriate conclusion this morning as we take hold of the message of Advent. Let's begin with a moment of prayer. May the words of my mouth and meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We have noted in this series that when people face great trial in life and can see no way through it, they easily can begin to feel that God is absent. So, for example, a few weeks ago, we were considering the story of the Israelites trying to navigate through the wilderness, and as they were wandering in the desert, unable to find water, they became increasingly distraught and finally cried out, "Is the Lord among us or not?" If you consider this question simply on an intellectual level, it seems easy to answer. If you were taking a theology exam and the question was, "Is God with us?" you would answer yes and go on to the next question. Of course, God is with us. But this is quite a different question on an existential level when we are dealing with our actual experience in life. If we hit serious trouble and see no apparent way out, we can easily begin to wonder, where is God? It is in such times that our scriptures this morning speak in a profound way. Our Old Testament readings came from the time when the people of Israel were wandering in the wilderness. Moses, under God's inspiration, instructed the people to build a tent, a very big tent, called the tabernacle, or the tent of meeting. This was a movable sanctuary. You can find detailed descriptions of every element of its construction in the book of Exodus. It was made out of sections of canvas and poles, so it could be set up, taken down, and moved from place to place as the people journeyed through the wilderness. It had an outer canvas wall, and in the center was a large tent where the Ark of the Covenant was kept, the gold-covered box that contained the Ten Commandments. Sometimes the term tabernacle is used to denote that central tent, while the term tent of meeting is used to describe the outer gathering area of the people, but often the words tabernacle or tent of meeting just signify the whole sanctuary. Daily sacrifices were offered in the tabernacle, and the people gathered there for worship. So here's the picture of what things looked like as the people were journeying through the wilderness. Wherever they encamped, there were all the tents in which the people lived, and in the midst of them all was God's tent. The tabernacle was the visible symbol that God was present among the people. But the tabernacle was not only a symbol, it was the place where the people genuinely experienced God's presence with them. Our passage said that when the construction of the tabernacle was completed, the cloud covered the tent of meeting and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. You get a sense that there was a visible sign of God's presence as the pillar of cloud that led the people through the wilderness settled upon the tent of meeting. But the key verse is, the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. No one is sure what exactly the glory of the Lord was. Was it some sort of radiance? Was it a spiritual feeling that people had there? Certainly, the phrase glory of the Lord signifies God's presence, but what it was exactly is a mystery, as God's presence is always a mystery. What is significant is that God's presence was to be encountered in all its wonder and fullness in this sanctuary. This brings us some key truths about how we can encounter God more fully today. It says that God's presence is encountered in worship. the people drew near to God's glory as they came to the tabernacle and lifted their hearts to God in praise and worship. It says that God's presence is encountered in community. Many people today prefer just a private religion, but you get the very opposite picture in the Bible. It is as people connect with one another in the faith community that the glory of God is in their midst. Finally, the fact that the tabernacle could move and the glory of God would move with it tells us that God's presence is always available no matter where our journey may take us. As the psalmist would later say, "Whither shall I go from your spirit, O God? If I take the wings of the morning and dwell at the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, your right hand will hold me." Or as the Apostle Paul said, "God is not far from any of us." So for people who are struggling in life and wondering in their heart where God is, the story of the tabernacle brings a powerful word. In instructing Moses to build the tabernacle, God declared, "I will dwell among the Israelites, and I will be their God." The core message is that God is with us. And even if we cannot see or understand where exactly our journey is taking us, we can find strength and encouragement and hope in this sure truth that the Lord is among us. Moreover, we can come to know that God is with us not only on an intellectual, but far more on a spiritual level. We can come to personally know God's presence. This entire message is brought finally to its ultimate fulfillment in the birth of Jesus Christ. In the gospel passage we heard, John says, "The Word became flesh and dwelled among us." The Greek word translated here as dwelled, eskenosen, actually is a form of the word for tent. It really means to pitch one's tent. Literally, John's passage says, "The Word, namely Christ, became flesh and pitched his tent among us." This is a direct allusion to the tabernacle. The gospel is saying that just as God once pitched his tent among the people of Israel in the wilderness, so now, in a far greater way, in the birth of Jesus Christ, God is dwelling in the midst of us all. The allusion to the tabernacle becomes yet more pronounced as the verse continues. "And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth." The glory of God, that once radiated from the tabernacle, shines forth in all its fullness from Jesus Christ. In Christ, God is truly with us. How then can we come to personally know God's presence with us as God has come to us in Christ? The allusion to the tabernacle is helpful because the principles that we saw in connection with the tabernacle are now true all the more in connection with Christ. We saw that people encountered God's presence in the tabernacle as they came for worship. So today, we come to Christ in faith and in praise, and as we lift our hearts to Christ in worship, we are drawn into fellowship with him. We saw further that people encountered God's presence in community. And so it is a little surprise that Jesus would later say, "Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of you." We experience the fullness of Christ as we connect with others in the community of faith. Finally, the movable tabernacle signified that God's presence would always be available no matter where the people's journey took them. Likewise, as Jesus later sent forth his disciples to journey all over the place, to go to the ends of the earth to proclaim the gospel, he said, "Lo, I am with you always to the end of the age." All these elements come to a particular focus for us in the sacrament of communion. We noted that the tabernacle was not only a symbol of God's presence, but it was also the place where people experienced God's presence. Likewise, the elements of communion are the sign that God is in our midst, and they are the place where we can personally experience the presence of the Lord with us. We do so as we come within the community of faith in worship to partake of fellowship with Christ. And as we go forth, we know that no matter what twists or turns our journey may take, the Lord is always near. It is all summed up in the message and the title that Jesus was given at his birth, Emmanuel, God with us. As we share in communion, we can know that God is with us, and we can, as John says, behold his glory full of grace and truth. Let us pray. O Lord, in our journey in life, we find ourselves sometimes on a difficult path. Often we cannot see exactly where the path is leading, and we may face at times great challenge ahead. Inspire us, O Lord, to recognize that you are with us. You are here in our midst. You have come to us with wondrous grace and love and promise. Move us, O Lord, as we would lift our hearts to you in worship and faith and praise, as we be receptive to how you are present with us now, here to work in our lives with forgiveness, with uplifting power, with encouragement, with guidance. You are here, O Lord, to walk and journey with us, to guide us and uphold us on our way, to lead us through each challenge, to bring us at last into your everlasting promises. We thank you, O Lord, that as we journey in faith, we are drawn into fellowship with one another. We can support each other. We can journey together, and together then we can truly reach out in mission to the world. We do reach out to persons in our own fellowship who are in times of particular need. We give thanks, Lord, that we can lift up one another. And this morning we would especially pray for our fellow United Methodists at the Smithville United Methodist Church. We pray, Lord, that you would empower us all as we would journey in faith, as we know that you are always with us, and as we are led by your Spirit to reach out and witness to the whole world. Guide us, Lord, as we give praise to you for the wonder of your grace, your glory come upon us. Lord, let your light shine forth from us as we respond in faith and join in service to the world. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the United Methodist Church of Kent Sermon Podcast. For more information about the church and to read Dr. Palmer's Notes from the Pastor blog with more about today's topic, visit www.kentmethodist.org.